Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas. And with me here tonight is my good friend and partner, Tom Moore, who preaches for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. Also here with us is Frank Briscoe. He'll be running our boards tonight. He is the gospel preacher for the Santo Church of Christ, and we would like to welcome all of you here tonight listening to us. We think we've got a very good program for you tonight. We're going to continue with this conspiracy behind the silencing of God for just a little bit, because we had a very interesting question come in at the conclusion of last week's broadcast. And as we pointed out, for the last two or three weeks, we are presently in an all-out casualty-filled spiritual war. We have the world trying to silence God, and especially right here in where we are affected the most, in the United States of America. And we gave you some problems for the last two or three weeks, the problems that we're having to deal with. And we also gave you some solutions. And among those solutions were the self-examination of and serious rededication to God, and then a diligence to our family, a dedication to our family, because as the family goes, we go as a nation. And then prayer must be a very, very important part of the solution to this conspiracy to silencing God, and also a determination to be steadfast and stay with it, because America didn't get into this fix overnight, and it will not be changed overnight. But now, we also mentioned that one of the solutions was a political participation. And we mentioned the fact that many people say that politics and religion don't mix, and that's not true. It is true that we must have religion and politics in order for us to survive. And so we brought all of these up, and we brought up the fact that we need to decide who our political leaders are. We need to investigate the candidates, and we don't base our votes on budget or the welfare system or tax reform or health care. We need to be concerned with moral issues. Now, we had a question come in, and we're going to deal with this question tonight. And the question is this: how does a person find out what the politicians believe about moral issues? And Tom, just as quick as you give us our introduction and our sponsors here, we will deal with that question and try to make sense out of it and give Bible answers for Bible questions.
We're broadcasting tonight from KOME 95.3 FM, KATX 97.7 FM, KNNK 100.5 FM, KWBY 98.5 FM, KDAVAM 1590, and KVOPAM 1090 AM. These areas are broadcasting in the area of Lubbock and Plainview, Stephenville, the Hereford Canyon Amarillo area, Glen Rose, Hamilton, all the way up to I-20 in Fort Worth. And so we're broadcasting in a large area, and we're thankful that you're listening in tonight. We're also broadcasting on the Gospel Radio Network. We want you to tune in there as well on the gospelradionetwork.org. There is a chat room that you can get involved in. And remember also that on the gospelradionetwork.org, this program will be re-aired this Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. Our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. Now, remember, this is a live call-in program, and the number to call if you would like to get involved with the discussion. Now, this is a toll-free number. The number is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also email us questions at questions@harrisonmoore.org. That will go to David's email box and mine. And also,
Let me take over here for you. we got a choke. You can also, like you said, email us on the questions@harrisonmoore.org. You can get to us on Twitter, on a Twitter account. And I don't have the account in front of me here, Tom.
You go to Twitter and you can do #AskHarrisonMoore. You can search Harrison Moore at Twitter and find us there. We're also presently on Periscope. If we go to Periscope, look for Tom Moore at Poppy Tutor. You'll be able to follow us there and get updates as to when we come online. And so these are some good ways, and we've got a Facebook page, and so many ways that you can get in contact with us. And again, this is a live call-in program, and the number to call tonight if you would like to get involved in the discussion is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You know, David, what we're going to do tonight, I think, really, as we begin, mm-hmm. is summed up really in what we see in Proverbs 13 and verse 10, where it says, "By pride cometh only contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Is that not, David, what we're going to be trying to do tonight is to advise people as to how to vote by using the Word of God as a standard?
Absolutely. And we absolutely must have the Word of God as a standard. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 tells us that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. Now, that word reproach is also used as disgrace. Sin is a disgrace to any people. So we've got to use the standard of God in order to seek the righteousness. Now, the question that was asked, Tom, is how does a person find out what a politician believes about moral issues? And when we're talking about these moral issues, we're talking about the righteousness of God, mm-hmm. As opposed to the disgrace that goes on in a nation when we leave the standard of God. And so this is what we're going to focus on tonight. We need to know what politicians think. We need to know what they're going to do when we elect them to be our representatives, because in essence, what we're saying here is we are choosing you to voice my thoughts and what I feel and the way that the Bible is put together in the way that we think here. Mm-hmm. And if you don't represent me that way, then we're spinning our wheels.
Exactly. And the reason we need to be so concerned with voting for the right man, perhaps, is seen in Proverbs 13, verses 15 and 16, where it says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Every prudent man worketh with knowledge, but a fool flaunteth his folly." You know, David, we realize that, and we really see what's happening in our world today, mm-hmm. that the way of the transgressor is hard. We see a lot of difficulties arising in our world and in the United States as a result of people voting without truth, without true knowledge of what is really to take place. And we see that a fool really flaunts his folly by the way he votes sometimes.
Well, right. And when he says the way of the transgressor is hard, that those are not just empty words. Just think about all of the illness. Think about all of the disease. Think about all of the corruption. Think about all of the violence in this country because of transgressors transgressing the word and the will of God. The righteousness of God gets us back to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. This says, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people.
Psalm 119, verse 117. Says God's word is righteousness.
Absolutely. So we have a standard to go by. Now let's make the standard applicable to the people that are running for office. And the first thing, you know, we are focused right now on the president, the running and the candidates that we have in the preliminaries and in the primaries. We're focusing on a presidential election that is over a year away.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not forget what is about to happen even in March. We're going to have a Republican primary here in the state of Texas. And so even as close as 45 days out or even less than that, 40 days out, we're going to have to make a decision on somebody. So we need to know what they think. We need to know what they feel. But let's just focus just for a moment, Tom, on the president and the people that are running for the president. And we do know this, that the number one duty of the president as the commander-in-chief is the safety of our country, including the protection of our borders. But it doesn't make any difference what kind of a commander-in-chief you have if this man disregards the righteousness of God as a standard, then we are in trouble to begin with from the top down.
Exactly. And so the commander-in-chief is to do what? His main goal really is to protect us, right?
Mm-hmm.
To protect our nation. And, you know, does not, David, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, give us, from a biblical perspective, what a president, what a commander-in-chief, what a ruler of a people is to be involved in, what their main purpose in their present role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, I'm reminded often, David, of 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, that God's word has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. You see, the Bible is not just for the purpose of helping us to have better spiritual lives, but it's amazing to me how much it helps us in the secular world if we will just abide by Bible principles.
And this is the reason it says the way of a transgressor is hard.
Exactly.
It's hard spiritually, but it's also hard in a very, very physical way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're warned about this. And the passage that you mentioned just a moment ago in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, is a very applicable passage to our consideration of how we are going to vote. Have you got that pulled up
there? It says, be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or unto governors as sent by him, for vengeance on evildoers and for praise of them that do well.
So he's got two purposes here. He's got two purposes. He says, sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. That's purpose number one. And purpose number two, for the praise of them that do well.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the commander-in-chief. So with the righteousness of God in mind, now let's look at how this system works that we have here in this United States of America. We have a two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Democratic system, and we have a Republican system, and they have a platform. And this is where we can start. Now, this is early in the campaign season, so people aren't being real specific about what they want you to know.
Mm-hmm.
They're being very generic about things, you know, well, we need to fix this, and we need to fix that, and we need to do this, we need to do that, and nobody's being specific about anything. As we progress on through this campaign, we're going to find more specific... more specifics
exactly
being thrown out there, and we can later tell a little bit more about it. But as we stand today, about all we have to do, all we have to go on, is the platform upon which these individuals are running.
The number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. For the next few minutes, we're going to be looking at the Democratic platform and the Republican platform, and we're going to be looking at God's platform.
Yeah, yes.
And so we're going to be looking at these three together and find out where we ought to be. After all, the question was, how do we know where they stand? Who mm-hmm. are we to vote for? Well, as you mentioned a moment ago, until we get more particulars, we know where they're coming from in a lot of areas by the platform on which they stand.
Absolutely. And so let's just look, first of all, at the Democratic platform, or when we look at principles and values. In the Democratic platform, for instance, God's name has been dropped from the Democratic platform. There is no mention of God, no mention of religion. Now, on the other side, on the Republican platform, under principles and values, there is a support for prayers in public school. The Republican platform actually supports the Judeo-Christian heritage of the United States of America, upon which this country was founded. Now, when we say these principles and values, one has God's name in it, one has God's name out. When we look at the scriptures and the way that God has dictated that his people live, we can look at Isaiah chapter 65, and we look at verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 65, and this is what we find. Stand by yourself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose and a fire that burns all the day. And that is the wrong scripture, because I'm supposed to be in chapter 66. I'm sorry. Verse 5 of 66. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Now, what that means is we that are fearful of the word of God, we that have a genuine respect for the word of God, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake. In other words, he's talking about those individuals who would stand up for God.
Mm-hmm.
They have been cast aside by those that do not want to stand up for God and his name's sake. Now, that's what the Bible has said
about it. Exactly. You know, we think about this idea of the categories that these platforms have, where it has principles and values, realizing that when we talk about principle and values, those are very generic terms.
Mm-hmm.
And in the idea of values and principles, we need to be more concerned with God's values, God's principles. And when we look at their definition of values and principles, the Democratic platform is very silent when it comes to God and things of religion, whereas at least in the Republican platform, and under principles and values, as you mentioned a moment ago, the supporting of public prayers and the supporting of Christianity is something that is promoted. Now, if we're looking at it from a biblical standpoint, which platform would be closer to what God would want us to be?
And that's what people are going to have to look at when they start to vote. Now, I would like to throw this in there as we progress in this. When we select the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, and when we select him, now what we're going to have to remember is that this man or this woman, whoever it may be, they will select actually judges that will be appointed to federal positions for life, and it will affect the entire judicial system. So if a person doesn't have godly principles behind the way that he thinks and the standards that he uses in order to make decisions and executive orders, then we're going to be in trouble for years to come.
Yeah, we're not talking just 4 or 8 years. It could be affecting us for the rest of our life here, David and myself and Frank, the decisions that are being made right now in the judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's critical that we vote with the proper principle and values, and those would be biblical principles. And we think about the platform, David, of the Democrats and the Republicans versus God's platform.
Mm-hmm.
We think about the idea of abortion. There's a category in the platform of the Democrats and also in the Republicans just about abortion. Now, the Democrats, they support Roe versus Wade, a 1972 ruling that legalized the killing of babies in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And also they are for the paying of tax dollars to provide this for those who cannot provide it, whether or not you want to pay it or not. Even among churches that pay taxes, this is required. They also, in the Democratic platform, support embryonic stem cell research. Well, where do you think they get the embryonic stem cells? From the
aborted children.
Aborted, murdered babies. Now, under the Republican platform, under the abortion section, they are opposed to abortion, the murdering of babies, and also the funding of it. David, we've got what the Democratic platform is. We have what the Republican platform is. And by the way, you can always go online and easily check these things out. Just type in your Google section, Republican platform, Democratic platform, and you'll have access to all of these things. So we've seen, David, what the Democratic platform about abortion is and the Republican platform. What's God's platform on it?
Well, we can look, first of all, at look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, because this is a very, very telling passage of Scripture here. God, through Jeremiah, says this. He says, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." And so right here we see that at conception and at development, God recognizes this child as a child and a living soul. And yet we have made laws in this country because of the way that we have voted. We have made laws in this country that would allow a legality to take place here to kill that child. Now, somebody's come up with 20 weeks or 18 weeks or what have you, and this is a man-made thing here, trying to soothe somebody's conscience and trying to make people believe that prior to 20 weeks, it would be just a matter of birth control, and it wouldn't be a killing of a baby. But God doesn't say that, and in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17, we are told there that God hates the shedding of innocent blood, and there is no more innocent blood around than that of an unborn child.
And so when we're looking at these platforms, David, and how we are to vote, we look at the Democratic platform and the Republican platform versus what God says on it. Now, David, we realize that even though a man may associate himself with a group of people, they don't always live up to the platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some people who claim to be a Republican but are not living up to the Republican platform. And so as time progresses and we get closer to votes, those are some of the more detailed things that we need to be checking out. And sometimes A person may even change his mind. Is it wrong to change your mind?
No, it is not wrong to change your mind. As a matter of fact, we do this in religion. We do this in politics. We do it in business based upon the accumulated knowledge. Now, if you'll remember when we first started this program Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, did we not mention the fact that it was through the accumulation of knowledge and wisdom mm-hmm. that we made correct decisions in our life? And so we need to keep that in mind as well, that we would have the option to be able to change our mind. Now the trick comes. Do you believe the politician when he says, "I've changed my mind"?
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
true.
That's something that you're going to have to ferret out here.
Yeah, and you know, and the proof's always in the pudding. And we realize that we have been lied to before.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to take people at face value until they show us that we're wrong. And so it's important for us to realize, again, the importance of checking out the candidates. And today we're focusing on the Democratic platform, the Republican platform versus what God says.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've noted their principle and values in their platforms, abortion, and also there is the civil rights issue. Now, it's interesting what they put under civil rights.
Yes, it is.
But before we get there, let us remind our listening audience that this is a live call-in program. And the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking about now the Democratic platform, and in the civil rights section, they support same-sex marriage. The Democrats platform, the Democratic platform under the civil rights section. Under the Republican platform, in the civil rights section, they define marriage to be between a man and a woman, and they are for the banning of same-sex marriage. So what we have here then, again, I don't know why they put it under civil rights. They like to cloud the issue as being something racist, but the Democratic platform supports gay marriage. The Republican platform defines marriage as between a man and a woman, and therefore would say it is not godly. Well, what does the Bible say? You know, we've heard what men have said. What does the Bible have to say? What is God's platform on this subject of homosexual marriage and homosexual lifestyle?
Well, when Paul, through inspiration, wrote to the church at Rome, in verse 27 of Romans chapter 1, or let's back up to verse 26. He says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." And so we see that God is not tolerant of homosexuals and the homosexual lifestyle. He is not tolerant, especially of homosexual marriages. And so when we know this, because in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus gives us the recipe that God has set forth for marriage all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. And in chapter 19 of the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "Have you not read," verse 4, "that he," that would be God, "which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder," or "let not man separate." And so we see it's a man and a woman. That's God's platform. It's always been his platform. That has never changed throughout the centuries of time.
Exactly right. And so we see in all this, David, that when we're looking at who to vote for, the candidates that we vote for, we need to begin, first of all, by looking at their platform, mm-hmm. the Democratic platform and the Republican platform. Now, David, it is easy to see that the Democratic platform does not coincide with God's platform.
No, it doesn't.
Now, the Republican platform does. Now, just because a person is running on the Republican platform, though, does not mean that they're abiding by that platform.
No, it doesn't.
But if a person is running on the Democratic platform, that tells me that if he's not running on the Democratic platform, he ought to be switching and not run on that. So that's where we begin. Again, but we got to look at them more closely later, but that's a good starting point.
Well, the candidates are bound to embrace the principles of either one of these two platforms, that they are bound to embrace it, to be able to be called one or the other. And so that is where we're going to have to start in answer to the question, how does a person find out what the politicians believe about moral issues? And so that's a start. We need to make sure that we pay attention, do a lot of reading. You may not have wanted to be involved in politics before, but as a Christian, as an individual who believes in God's word, we need to be active and find out who these people are that we're going to vote for in this voting process, so that we will be sure to select the individual that will best represent the godly standards of God, the righteousness of God, so that this nation can once again be exalted, as we are told about in Proverbs 13 and verse 34, versus being a reproach because of our sinful nature. And one of the reasons that we have gotten ourselves into this wreck as we find ourselves today is because we have been silent, and we have allowed people to silence the Christian principles when it comes to politics.
Exactly.
And you know, we just have this coming over and over and over again. Oh, you're not supposed to mix politics and religion. Who said that? God mixes politics and religion. This is a religious issue. This is a spiritual issue. It's not just a political issue.
And that's why I've been kind of having a conversation, David, with someone on the chat room who is talking about the separation of church and state, you know, and I ask, where in the Constitution is the separation of church and state mentioned? Well, he comes back and says, well, it's not mentioned there, but it's referred to in thought by many of our founding fathers. Well, then I have asked him to give me an example of where this is the case. Give me an example. Don't just say it. Give me an example. And you know what? They're not going to find it.
Give him some time. He might come up with something.
All right, we'll give him time.
Give him time.
But, you know, all of this, David, shows that when we're looking at the idea of who to vote for, religion and God and the Bible play the most important role in
well,
the whole thing.
Well, and, you know, it would be hard to run from what the Bible has to say in Romans chapter 13 concerning politics and spirituality, and in 1 Peter chapter 2 concerning politics and spiritual reality. These are spiritual realities that we're reading here, and they are closely, very closely associated with the politics that we have to live under.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't tell us to pray for kings for nothing. He tells us to pray for kings because they are our political leaders. And in this country, we don't have that kingship. What we have is a constitution, and we have men and women that are bound by that constitution to lead us in the right way. So we are to pray for our leaders. Mm-hmm. It is part of the spiritual reality of the politics under which we live.
So,
and we want to do what is right according to God.
So,
now, there is, and you mentioned this briefly just a moment ago, a person can change over time based upon the knowledge that he or she has accumulated.
Mm-hmm.
This happens in religion, it happens in business, and it also happens in politics. And I don't have a problem with a person changing from being an ungodly sort of a sort to understanding what God's will is, and then trying to rule in based upon the standards of God. But we've got to be very, very careful. We don't want to jump on somebody's bandwagon that just vacillates from one side mm-hmm. to the other and just come back again. If he's changed, well, more power to him. I can really appreciate that. But sometimes, Tom, When it's all said and done, and we talked about this, Frank talked about it with us, and when it's all said and done, we may end up having to take the lesser of the two evils.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a sad day, but sometimes that is just exactly what has to happen.
And you know, David, in reality, I wonder where, if ever any candidate will ever match up to all of God's principles, you know, and so that's going to be a hard one to find. And so it might be always the lesser of two evils. But David, when we think about this idea of voting and for the candidates, you know, how we deal with those who represent us and who we have voted for, and our mentality behind who we vote for, that is going to affect our relationship to God, is it not?
Sure.
You know, and if we're not living by biblical principles, not only by the way we live, but by the way we vote, how is our true relationship to God? Something's going to be out of whack there if we're voting in a way that shows us that we don't have a very good relationship with God.
Absolutely. And so this is going to be kind of our segue into our next series of lessons, which has to deal with our relationship with God. And I think for those who are listening, this may be one of the most important foundational laying topics that we've had on this program for a long time, and I think that that people are going to get an awful lot out of this. And we have a passage of scripture for those of you that would like to give the passage of scripture that is going to introduce this lesson, our relationship with God, and it ties into what we've been talking about. But in chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, we have a summation of God's creation. And it says this: "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, this is an introduction to our relationship to God. And, Tom, there is a way. And this is what seems to affect so many people, is being happy and mm-hmm. being successful. But there is a way to live happily and successfully every single day of our lives. Now, Tom, happiness is not something that comes to some and not to others by chance or fate or luck. The key to happiness and the key to being successful is truth.
Exactly right. You know, and Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth." I'll tell you what, let's back up to verse 31.
Yes, please.
It says, "Jesus therefore said to those Jews that believed on him, if ye abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, David, real freedom is found in truth. And we might ask, what is truth? Well, John chapter 17, verse 17 said, "Sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth." And so our happiness, our relationship with God, all revolves around the idea of truth.
Right. And it is truth that will free everything that takes place in this world. Now, the number to call, if you want to get in on the conversation, if you'd like to ask a question of any kind, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, toll-free number, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tom, truth frees, whether it is in science or in medicine or in physics or spiritually. And just to give you an example of that, Dr. Salk freed us from polio by finding the truth in a vaccine. And truth will enable us to build skyscrapers and automobiles. It will enable us to go to the moon. It'll bring about success and achievement in every single field that you can think of.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And we think about this idea, David, of truth. You know, slavery in any area of life is a result of ignorance. And sadly, David, slavery to sin is no exception. On the other hand, freedom alone is based upon truth. And it's this freedom that's based upon truth that really brings true success and true happiness. I think, Dave, we have a lot of people in our world who are really mixed up mm-hmm. with what is really freedom and what is slavery.
Right.
You know, especially when you say, "I'm free to do what I want to do." Well, is that really freedom or is that slavery?
Right. Well, and it's very important, and this is where the application ties into the way that we live. It is very, very important that we search for spiritual truth, just as we do in other areas of life. And in order to do that, we're going to have to be better informed spiritually to help us make the right decisions that are going to affect our lives and ultimately affect our happiness. And the key, again, is truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we are told there, "Study or give diligence to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth."
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to have a better knowledge, a better spiritual understanding of what God's will truly is in order to find that truth, in order to free us from the slavery of sin, in order to access this happiness of life and the successfulness of the life that we live here on this earth.
Exactly right. And so, David, everything that we're going to be talking about for the rest of the evening won't be much longer now. And in the next few weeks, it's all going to be dealing about truth and our relationship to God. Everything that we do, our what we focus on politically, what we do with our jobs in a secular way, our living as people,
mm-hmm.
all has to do with truth. And what's really sad, David, is there are so many people in our world that are getting so far away from truth that they're losing their relationship with God.
There's no doubt about it. And this is what we're talking about tonight, is our relationship with God. Now, as valuable as truth is, and as much value as God puts on truth, there are substitutes for truth that a lot of people like to grab a hold on. Many times and in many ways, people try to find a substitute for God and truth. The fact of the matter is, a lot of people don't like God. A lot of people don't like truth. A lot of people hate the truth. A lot of people hate God.
And you know, even for some who profess to be Christians, David, they find themselves making substitutes for God. And you see that in the fact that there are so many different religions in the world today, and people who worship in different ways, and people who talk about salvation coming in different ways. They are substituting for God's way, thinking they had a better way. You know, and really, David, the reason behind all of this, according to the world, a substitute many times, if not all the time, seems more rational, seems more logical, seems easier to believe than God's way, and that's a sad scenario.
Well, is there really a substitute for God? And is there really a substitute for truth?
I would say no, if you're looking for what is really true, and if you're really looking for God, there is no substitute.
You might ask this question. If there is a substitute for God, then how in the world can this universe and this life and the complexities of this life be explained without God?
You can't. Now, they've come up with ideas, their opinions, but none of these things are based upon truth. Now, the truth of God's Word says in John, the Gospel account, in John chapter 1, beginning verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that hath been made." You know, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended or comprehended it not. You know, we're living in a day, David, where people simply refuse to believe the truth of God's Word. You know, without the Bible, we would not know truthfully where our beginning began.
No, we would not. Now, there are those, and the reason that we backed up all the way to Genesis chapter 2 and then brought it right on over into the New Testament, John chapter 1, the reason that we've done this is because there are those who would substitute organic evolution for God's creation. And Tom, this is one of the greatest hoaxes that has ever been perpetuated upon a civilized world since the beginning of mankind.
Let's say it in country talk. The biggest hogwash that's ever been made, the biggest lie that has ever taken place. And it's so sad, David, that the biggest lie that has ever been taught, that has ever been spread, is being taught to our children as young as kindergarten.
And here we go again, by law. Mm-hmm. It is a forced law in every public school system in the United States of America.
So is it important, David, whom we vote for?
Absolutely it is. You cannot separate the social issues under which we live and the spiritual issues under which we are living currently as children of God. You can't separate the two. They don't separate. There is no way to separate them without causing chaos. And so we just one of those things that we're going to have to work on. Now we're going to get into this. We're told by scientists hundreds of millions of years ago, life began spontaneously as a result of heat and chemical reaction. And from this, it is claimed, evolved all plant and animal life. Now, Tom, those who accept this theory as a substitute for God in creation search for evidence to support evolution. Now, we're not speaking of changes within a species. We're talking about all plant and animal life from one source. And, Tom, should evolution be true, evidence should be everywhere with all of the changes taking place from one species to another. But, Tom, this is simply not the case.
You know, and it's sad, David, when we look about, if we think about the idea of, for example, man evolving from apes, why do we still have apes? Are we still involved in evolution? And if there were the case that man evolved from apes, where are the evidences of the in-betweeners?
Well, that's true. Evolutionists have searched vainly for some missing link, and they have looked for this missing link for years and decades, and they have yet to find a missing link. Now, the pictures of these prehistoric men that you see in your history books and your encyclopedias are a lot of plastic and vivid imagination, and we can do a little proving of that. And I'll give you an example. There was a Piltdown man, and for those of you on the internet that seem to think that this is silly, just look up the Piltdown man. And he was discovered in 1912. He was discovered in a gravel pit in England, and at the time of the discovery, it was acclaimed to be the greatest discovery ever made by mankind, because this was the missing link, Tom, and it was a deliberate fraud.
Exactly.
An absolute deliberate fraud. You read about this Piltdown man, and all the pictures of the Piltdown man, it's got them all over the internet. And it was an absolute and deliberate fraud, and was proven to be so.
Exactly. You know, David, also, there is something that's kind of a big word called the embryonic recapitulation hoax. A big word, but everybody has seen it. You've seen the pictures in our textbook where they say that in the embryo, or while the embryo and the baby is progressing, that all the stages of the evolutionary process takes place inside a mother's womb as a child begins to progress to adulthood. And they had drawings written out and found out that the fellow who did this falsified his drawings. Long ago, there was big trial over this back in the 1800s. What's sad, David, is that those drawings, even though proven by a court of law or have been falsified, are still in many of our textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
That is science, not based upon truth.
Absolutely. And it's the truth that's going to free you. We need to keep that in mind as we go through this. The truth is going to make this free. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, in 1917, if the Piltdown man wasn't bad enough, there was another fellow by the name of the Nebraska man that was found. And, oh, by the way, now we really got it this time. And he's also called the Java man. You can look him up. Just Google it. Nebraska man, Java man. You see the pictures. A lot of vivid imagination in plastic. But from one tooth, Tom, they found a tooth, for crying out loud, and they made a race of men, and later on it was found to be a pig's tooth, and it took them 40 years to correct the mistake that was made. I don't have any doubt that maybe somebody was wanting so badly to find this missing link that they honestly believed that they were truly finding something that wasn't there, but it took them 40 years to correct the error.
Isn't that what's really behind error? Is people many times simply do not want to believe the truth, and so they concoct or think up some lie instead of believing the truth, which would be a lot easier, come up with some idea to verify what they wish would be the case,
right,
and not what actually occurred.
Well, now, Tom, we're going to run out of time, and I need to make a few points right here before we run completely out. Yes, got a phone call. Would you give us your first name and your comment or your question, please?
Howdy, y'all. This is Rusty.
Hey, Rusty.
I just wanted to share something with you. It ain't no earth-shattering revelation or nothing, but, you know, I've been accused of believing in fairy tales. You know, well, let me tell you what a fairy tale is. Fairy tale says, once upon a time, in a land far away, a frog turned into a prince, right?
Right.
Well, that's what evolution says.
That's a pretty good wrap-up there, bud.
that's pretty much what evolution... That's the whole thing. All right, I'll get off there.
Thank you, Rusty. Good call.
That was a good analogy, Rusty.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. And, you know, and that's exactly right. It is a fairy tale. It is a... And by the way... evolution does not even fall into the category of science.
No, it does not.
And yet that is where all of the so-called scholars have placed it. It's more a philosophy than a science, but we'll deal with it where the so-called authorities have put it, and it does not match up to truth. And, you know, we could spend days in showing where evolutionists fall. You know, they've got the comparative anatomy. They've got the vestigial organs. All of these various proofs, they say, prove evolution is the case. And yet, it has been proven that none of those are the case.
Well, Tom, there can be found, and here is a truth that you can take to the bank. There can be found nowhere on earth, not in fossils, nor among the living, any changes from one species to another. And this lack of finding between the stages from one species to another, it even staggered Charles Darwin, the father of modern evolution. Now, I want you to hear what he had to say. And this is what he wrote, quote, "Why, if species have descended from other species by fine gradations, do we not everywhere see innumerable transitional forms? Why is not all nature in confusion instead of the species being, as we see them, well defined?" End of quote. That comes from The Origin of the Species, page number 80, from Charles Darwin himself. And my question to you, Tom, and Frank, too, why are we not told of these things when we're being taught about evolution in school? Why or what are the publishers of these books trying to hide?
Well, they're trying to hide that evolution cannot possibly be correct.
Mm-hmm.
They're not abiding by truth. David, we're going to have a whole lot more to say about this next week, but we're going to have to conclude here. And we want to be sure that we give a little announcement concerning our additional sponsors that we're so thankful for. We're thankful for the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas, and we're also thankful for many individuals like the Swigerts and the Hansons, Keeters, who have given us individual donations to this program, and we're thankful for such as this. David, we're living in a day when people are venturing further and further away from the truth,
mm-hmm.
And what we want to do regarding our beliefs in how things were created, in our relationship with God, how we vote, we need to always get back to the Bible and to the truth of God's Word.
Amen. And when we go through this series of factual things that we're going to throw out to you coming from the Bible, we're going to see that the truth, the key to happiness, is the great alternative to evolution And God and creation, intelligence and design, we're all going to look at all of these things, and we want you to tune in again next week and follow us as we go through this series of lessons on the truth and the alternative to evolution. Tom, you got the last word.
It's been great to have you in our audience. We have a very good discussion going on in the chat room right now. And maybe we can pick up again on that next week. Some things that really pertain to what we're talking about, truth and the lie that's going on in our world today. We're happy that you've been with us. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible. We look forward to seeing you again next week right here on this station.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore. More Expedition Through the Bible every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.
Great is thy faithfulness.